Good afternoon. Pursuant to Rule 33, as Chief Justice, I entered an order to conduct a scheduling conference in case 81924, the legislature of the state of Nevada versus et al. Versus the Honorable James A. Settlemyer et al. Would counsel state their appearances on the record for the appellant's cross respondents?
Thank you, Your Honor. For the record, Kevin Powers, LCB Legal Division, General Counsel, on behalf of the Nevada Legislature.
Good afternoon, Your Honor. Craig Newby, on behalf, Deputy Solicitor General for the State of Nevada, on behalf of the Department of Taxation and the Executive Defendant Cross Respondents.
Okay. Thank you, Your Honor. Justin Townsend from the Allison McKenzie Law Firm, on behalf of the respondents and cross appellants. Karen Peterson was going to be on the call today. She had a family emergency that had to take her out of state, so she is not here today.
Okay. As you know, the court entered an order on February 19th that addressed some of the pending aspects of this case, principally setting a briefing schedule that focuses on the jurisdictional question that the court raised, pardon me, in its order of December 7th, 2020. The responses to the court's show cause order indicated that the issues implicate the merits of that question, and as a consequence, entered an order or included in its order of February 19th a briefing schedule to further examine the merits of the cross respondents and cross appellants issues, at least with respect to the executive branch parties to be added. When that matter is fully briefed, then the court will take up its determination. It may be and likely will be, however, deferred until the court hears the entire case and is in a position to decide the entire case. Which leads us to the next issue. I wanted to make a record of the fact that this appeal was docketed in the Nevada Supreme Court on October 13th. And the cross appeal was docketed on November 2nd, 2020. The jurisdictional issue was raised in our order of December 7th, 2020, and it is now, at least at this point, partially briefed. However, in light of that issue, no briefs on the merits of this case had been filed thus far. And certainly, as counsel is aware, the court cannot decide a case without the briefing to do so. The purpose of this hearing is to determine a briefing schedule for the merits of the appeal issues raised in this dispute. And so I wanted to hear from counsel about that question so that we can move this case along on the merits. I'll begin with appellants. Do you have a position, or do you wish to request a certain time period within which to submit opening briefs, and or have you entertained the idea of submitting the case on the briefs presented to the district court? Mr. Powers.
Thank you, Your Honor. For the record, again, Kevin Powers, General Counsel, LCB Legal Division. As you know, Your Honor, the en banc court heard the other two-thirds related case
in Morency versus State of Nevada on this prior Monday, March 1st. We believe it would be helpful to the legislature to have the court potentially decide both of those cases before the end of the current legislative session, if that's possible, which obviously the current legislative session ends on May 31st, 2021. With that in mind, I have put together a proposed briefing schedule, which is somewhat expedited. And I don't want to sound presumptuous, but it does lead up to the court having the potential to hold an en banc argument, oral argument in this matter, on its regularly scheduled en banc arguments for May 3rd and 4th. So this would be my proposal. And this would cover both the appeal and the cross appeal remaining briefing. So as it stands now under the current schedule, the plaintiffs, and it's easier to refer to the plaintiffs and the defendants from below. So the plaintiffs' next brief in the cross appeal is due on Monday, March 22nd. My proposal would be that the defendant's opening brief would also be due on Monday, March 22nd. Now, this supposes that the plaintiffs will wait until the last day to file that brief in the cross appeal. So my next proposal is, so again, on Monday, March 2nd, we'd have the plaintiffs filing their response in the cross appeal, the defendants filing their opening brief. Then 2 weeks later, on Monday, April 5th, the plaintiffs would be filing their answer or brief in the appeal, and the defendants would be filing their surreply in the cross appeal. That would finish the briefing in the cross appeal. 2 weeks later, on Monday, April 19th, the defendants would file their reply brief in the appeal. And then 2 weeks later, on May 3rd or 4th, the court could hold an en banc oral argument, which is the currently scheduled en banc oral argument period for the court. Obviously, the court could schedule oral argument whenever it saw fit. So that would be the proposal that would complete all briefing by Monday, April 19th, giving 2 weeks before the next en banc oral argument scheduled for the court. That would be the proposal from the defendants.
Mr. Newby, do you concur?
To the extent this court is able to and desires to try to reach a resolution to account for the legislature and is willing to attempt to conduct hearing at the regularly scheduled May en banc hearing, the schedule is generally workable for my clients. I would only note, to the extent we may be discussing scheduling issues more generally, that my colleague and I have a Fifth Circuit argument for which we've been Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans, Louisiana, for the week of April 26. They have not yet notified us which day that oral argument would be or whether that would be in person or via video. They have been conducting oral arguments in both formats in that court. So I want to make that disclosure in terms of to the extent we may be circling around in terms of trying to come up with a workable schedule as well. But otherwise, I have no issues in terms of the briefing schedule or being prepared to argue for that date should the court be able to entertain that date.
All right, Mr. Townsend.
Thank you, Your Honor. Honestly, we had anticipated a proposed schedule from Mr. Powers that would have pushed the briefing past the end of the legislative session. And so I hadn't considered that we might have a schedule as Mr. Powers has proposed. That being said, I think the schedule he has proposed sounds good to me, and I think we can make those dates work. The one question that we had with respect to the cross appeal under Rule 28.1, the briefing on a cross appeal, the the cross appellants typically get the last brief. And under the court's February 19th order, the cross respondents would be getting the last brief. And we wondered if the court would address that and perhaps modify that to fit the what that was our expectation when we filed the cross appeal, that we would, that the briefing would conform to that rule.
Mr. Townsend, the reason for the current order on that subject, as you know, is that we directed the cross appellants to respond to the issue of jurisdiction. And in doing so, you submitted a fairly substantial brief outlining the basis of your claims on cross appeal and why jurisdiction would be present. We are in the unique, maybe odd situation where the response to that, the response to that position filed by the executive branch officers raised merit questions involving the subject of the cross appeal. My review of those briefs indicate to me that at this juncture, it would seem best that your brief should respond to those merit questions, and then their reply would follow. I'll hear from your colleagues to see if there's any objection to a additional brief on your part, and then we'll consider that in developing this order.
Mr. Okay, Powers. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. Again, for the record, Kevin Powers. The legislative defendants, the legislature, and the two legislative officers do not oppose if the plaintiffs want to file the final brief in the cross appeal. They could file that on Monday, April 19th, when the defendant's reply brief is due in the appeal, so that this essentially every 2 weeks, two briefs would be filed under the briefing schedule. So defendants, legislative defendants, have no objection to the plaintiffs filing the final brief in the cross appeal.
Mr. Newby?
Your Honor, to the extent the court thinks it would be useful to have such an additional brief, we have no objection to it.
Okay. what you have outlined was the reason for setting this settlement conference, not settlement, this scheduling conference. This schedule raises is the ability of the court to resolve a significant piece of legislation and issues surrounding its constitutionality in a matter of 3.5 weeks. That timeline, even if we held oral argument on the 3rd or 4th of May, is extraordinarily ambitious. To consider all of the issues that you folks have been dealing with, quite frankly, for almost 2 years or more than 2 years. So I don't think that there is any way that I can provide any assurances that this schedule would result in a disposition of the case, even if we maintain this schedule. I also need to review the oral argument schedule for May 3rd and 4th to see what other cases have been scheduled on that date. But to the extent that counsel stipulate to the briefing schedule in this case, that is acceptable to the court, obviously, and we will enter an order that summarizes this schedule. If this is the schedule for briefing, I would simply note that the court will not entertain extensions of time on any of the specified dates. And further, that if a brief is not filed as scheduled, that it will not be considered. This places the court in a very difficult position to address a matter of this magnitude in such a short period of time. But we'll do our best under the circumstances. I can't commit on the oral argument date, but I do expect to set oral argument in this matter. But I'll have to review our calendar and other scheduled cases before I can include that in the order. I would expect to enter an order on this matter later today or tomorrow. I assume, Mr. Powers, the appendix will be filed at the time of the opening brief?
That is correct, Your Honor.
And it's my understanding that at least the respondents' cross-appellants waived any transcript of the underlying proceedings. But I'm a little bit unclear, Mr. Powers or Mr. Newby, whether you folks did. Have you agreed on that?
Your Honor, the transcript was made while the case was still in the district court, and it was filed in the district court, so it'll be part of the appendix.
Oh, okay. Great. Are there any other matters that counsel would like to take up with the court on this case today? Mr. Powers?
No, Your Honor. And of course, we understand that the courts, you know, can't promise that they'll be able to resolve these cases within the time frame I mentioned, but we appreciate the court taking the opportunity to provide this conference and establish this briefing schedule. Thank you.
You're welcome. Mr. Newby, anything further?
Nothing further, Your Honor, other than to the extent in the course of setting this, it becomes clear that this is not possible for the court to be able to resolve this in terms of the timeline requested by Mr. Powers, then to the extent it's necessary for everyone to take more time with this issue, it may be appropriate to revisit the expedited briefing if we get to a point while it's still ongoing that it becomes clear whether through the selection of the oral argument date or things of that sort, that it can't be resolved on this ambitious timeline, then perhaps we need to revisit this timeline to make it expedited, but not quite as expedited as what we have here, what we're stipulating to here today. With that, I have nothing further.
Well, Mr. Newby, I'm letting you know now that expecting the court to publish a disposition in this case in under 3.5 weeks from oral argument is a significant undertaking. And
understood, Your Honor.
I hope that counsel would understand that the justices of the court, there are seven of us participating in the case, all expect to undertake their own research, their own review of the matter before any disposition is finally achieved. And so ordinarily, under the court's internal operating procedures, in the normal course of events, we wouldn't have a draft disposition in any en banc case earlier than 90 days. So this schedule is requesting the court to accelerate that pace to less than a third of that time. This is part of the reason I was concerned about what's taking place in the case and the fact that it's a very short period of time to be able to resolve an important legal issue that affects the state and its budget.
On that note, Your Honor, I just might add that in 2009, in the case of Commission on Ethics versus Hardy, the court issued an unpublished order stating his disposition, but also indicating that a published opinion would follow, so that the order was issued during the end of the 2009 legislative session, and then the published opinion followed thereafter. So I just offer that as a prior example when, unfortunately, the court was put in a similar situation, for which we apologize.
Mr. Townsend, anything further you wish to add today?
I do not have anything further, Your Honor. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you, counsel, for being available for this scheduling conference. I'll confer with staff and we'll issue an order with respect to this schedule later today or tomorrow. With that, we'll be in recess. Thank you.
Thank you.